Welcome to Darkbox Archive. I am Andrew, and I am the CEO of Darkbox Security.
I'm Ty. I'm a developer at Darkbox.
I'm Josh. I am the resident cybersecurity expert.
And we are your hosts. Today, we want to talk about why cybersecurity is important to the individual and to businesses. So, Josh, you know, we've dealt with a lot of different incidents, specifically with individuals and businesses. So, you know, give us some examples of some, you know, past incidents that we've dealt with and why cybersecurity is so important today.
Let's see. Cyber stalking, loss of account access, loss of funds because somebody hacked into your bank accounts, into your Ledger wallet, stole your crypto, took over Instagram accounts for businesses, and these businesses are very dependent on Instagram for leads.
Leads and just their business itself, because we've got various content creators that, you know, makes, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars off of their platform. So,
and if they're not implementing proper cybersecurity, it's just going to not work out very well for them. They're going to lose it.
And then we've had, you know, incidents where we've had CEOs being blackmailed over various issues to, you know, with the various phishing operations that we've seen where a hacker will pretend to be someone legitimate, trying to get the various financial information internally from a company.
Yeah, not without proper cybersecurity in place as individuals or as businesses, we've seen people take major hits to losing their entire business, to, you know, their personal lives being fairly destroyed. There's so many repercussions that we've seen over time.
Yeah, and I think, you know, part of what we see too is, you know, we have a lot of smaller businesses that we see out there where, you know, it's like, why would they target me? You know, what do I have? I'm not a large business, but, you know, to these hacking operations, they know that, you know, a lot of these businesses are extremely reliant on their everyday operations. And if that's impacted, you know, are people willing to pay $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 ransom to make sure that, you know, their business is out ongoing rather than shutting down? And we've seen that that's actually true. So, you know, that's one reason why we're starting this podcast, is to start giving individuals and businesses the knowledge, tools to start, you know, be more proactive, I should say, for their cybersecurity protocols within their lives and their businesses. And the reason I say within their lives also is that a lot of individuals we've seen, you know, their personal lives are often interconnected with their businesses. And, you know, we're seeing more and more of that interconnectedness because everyone has a cell phone. You know, a lot of people log into their businesses via their home Wi-Fi. We've especially seen this with, you know, COVID, where more people are working from home. And so it just really gives a larger opportunity for major hacking operations to affect a lot of lives.
Well, think about it like this. If I'm a criminal trying to find, you know, find somebody to get into, find some business where I can make some money. We had an incident just like this where a client contacted us and she had been had her home Wi-Fi internet, her computer hacked into. They got control over and everything like that. Well, at the same time, we start to see some funny stuff go on with her business, her company. She's not an owner. She's not an owner of the business. She's just an employee. But then we start looking at their her employer, and they are down, and it was a company laptop. And, you know, if I was that person's employer, I would look at them like, well, you know, I mean, I guess if only if I had policies in place saying that you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that, could I go and say, well, maybe we need to relook at your contract. That would really suck to lose your job over something like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, and I think that that's where, you know, the discussion needs to have with all these small to medium-sized businesses is, you know, what sort of, you know, cybersecurity, security policies do you have in place? Because as we've seen, many don't, you know, they're just, you know, hooking various random devices and just letting their various employees basically download anything they want on it. And, you know, that's a major security risk, you know, especially with these businesses that deal with personally identifiable information. I mean, if you're having all these various customers and clients or patients information on your system, I mean, and you are vulnerable to various cyber attacks, then now you're dealing with not just the loss of that business, but also various lawsuits and, you know, regulatory issues that would come from that. And that's why, you know, again, we're starting this podcast to start giving individuals and businesses more information to better protect themselves. So going to personal security, what are some things that, you know, just a common individual can start doing to better secure their cyber life?
A password manager, VPN, making sure two-factor authentication is on everything they possibly can, especially major things like your telephone provider, your bank accounts, and, you know, everything needs to have two-factor authentication, especially if it impacts your life. Because if a criminal gets a hold of your bank account and circumvents whatever, they're going to drain your account. And then you may or may not be able to get that money back. It really depends on your bank.
Yeah, so
those things in place.
So going back to
medication should help protect you.
So going back to, you brought up password manager. Can you explain what a password manager is? Because that's a big question that we get from a lot of clients.
So, I'm going to pick it up here. Mm-hmm. But basically, a password manager is a place where you can generate passwords. You can create, you know, basically store your online identity. I recommend, and we use here, is Bitwarden. Bitwarden is a top-of-the-line password manager. It provides two-factor authentication. It provides ways to store credit cards, identity information. Stop, please stop using your browser to store this type of information. It is horribly insecure. Please stop doing that. Go get a password manager that allows you to store your address in there, allows you to store phone numbers, store it all in that password manager, and you'll be 100% more safe. Generate random passwords. You just have to know one password. I harp on password managers to no end. My kids, my little kids, ranging from 8 to 13, use a password manager. They know better than to just use the same password over and over again. They use two-factor authentication.
So when you talk about a master password for the password manager, one is
hello.
We keep cutting out there, but so making a password master password allows you to have one password you memorize, and you don't have to memorize a whole bunch of other ones. Prevents you from going, let's say, making one password and changing little bits of it, because those get put into breaches, they get downloaded, your password gets leaked. But this one master password is usually something like you take four words, combine them, change some into numbers, capitalization, add some special characters, and then you go write that down on a note card and you store that in a safe or something like that. That's what my family does. So I have my master password. Okay. It's on a note card. My wife has hers. It's on a note card. It's stored in a safe. So if something happens to me, happens to my wife, go pull that note card up. Hey, I have access to my wife's online digital identity.
Okay, so moving on to business security, what are some cybersecurity practices that businesses can start doing? You know, obviously, a lot of the personal security aspects that we just discussed about, that can also be used for businesses. But expanding upon that, what are some other tips that you would give businesses to better help their security?
Can I say don't do it yourself? Because that's really my first step. My first real tip is just don't try to do cybersecurity yourself. Don't. I get it. Everybody has a budget and everything, but really finding somebody that understands cybersecurity and can help you through that process, which, hey, hopefully this podcast becomes that for you. And you can
do it yourself. Talking about that, Josh, is, you know, some of the businesses that are out there, you know, they may have an in-house IT individual or a smaller department. Are they good enough to do the security that we're talking about?
No. My heart goes out to the IT professionals out there, because I get it. I get the struggle. You're trying to keep systems up. You're trying to keep the business running. You're trying to keep everything green. But honestly, you might not know that, hey, your network has a big hole over here. You have a port open on here that shouldn't be open, and that people are just able to walk right through. You don't know that Sally Sue is running a BitTorrent site on her computer, on her company computer. There's all sorts of things that go into cybersecurity that your IT guys just can't handle, because they're focused, and it's their job, is keeping your business running. That's what IT guys do. They keep your business running. They keep you connected to the internet. They keep everybody talking. They keep your clients able to make purchases. That's what your IT guys do. That's what your developers do. They keep your business running. Your cybersecurity guys, we make sure that stuff doesn't fall down, and data doesn't get taken out of your system.
Right. So it's kind of unfair that, you know, a lot of these IT guys are leaned on too heavily to know about cybersecurity and protect businesses when that's really not their expertise, correct?
Oh, yeah. It's completely unfair to these IT guys. I feel bad for them because, you know, they're a single, maybe you have one IT guy and he's trying to keep your business going. There's way more to cybersecurity than that one thing.
Right. And I think that that's just one stereotyping that we often see in the small to medium-sized businesses is that, oh, our IT guy is also our cybersecurity guy. I mean, he knows about computers, so he should know about cybersecurity. And that is a very dangerous way of thinking from, you know, from the executive level regarding their IT systems.
Ty, how long would you say you've been doing computer stuff?
Probably ever since computers came to be, really. We were like the first
generation
computers. Yeah.
But would you call yourself a cybersecurity expert, even though, like, I would say you're probably well-versed in all aspects of computers and IT
stuff? I wouldn't say I'm an expert, but I can prevent myself from getting viruses pretty well, I would say. I haven't had a virus in a while. I think I do best practices when it comes to that.
Oh, you see, but
you're right, Josh. I mean, like Ty, you know, he's our resident designer who, you know, he makes everything look amazing, you know, that's client facing and whatnot. But even though Ty has been around computers
my whole life
a long time, he will readily admit he does not know cybersecurity. And I think that's important for our listeners to understand is that just because your IT guy or some other tech focused expert knows things about computers does not make that individual a cybersecurity expert. And I think, you know, that's one stereotyping that we really need to address within the cybersecurity world is that, you know, that is why we have experts. I mean, just like in the health field, you see so many various types of experts within the health field. And, you know, that's the same thing with in the IT world. And, you know, you've got the programmers, you've got the designers, you've got, you know, the cybersecurity experts and whatnot. So I think that's an extremely important aspect to know for.
Yeah. One thing that, like, your IT guys are there for a technical aspect. When you come to somebody like our company or to specifically me or something, I don't look at just, like, what your network looks like. I look at everything as a whole picture because physical security goes into cybersecurity. It's if I can, you know, walk into your store, plug this USB drive in, and then I'm now downloading credit card data from every single one of your transactions just because I walked in your store and you had something available and I just plugged it in, you know, that's a major issue. Your IT guy isn't thinking about that.
Don't people do that at coffee shops too? Don't they bring their computers in and physically intercept routers?
Oh yeah. So there's things like that. That I mean, it's not as big. It's not done as much anymore because it got a lot of news. It still can be done though. It was big in the news for a while that people were doing that because it was really, really easy at the time.
Apparently, yes.
Yes, it was very easy at the time. It's not as easy. It's still doable, but as easy. But, you know, I hook up, I don't know how many times I've been in my car waiting and I pull up my computer, my phone, or I pull up my computer, I see Wi-Fi networks all around me. And I see somebody's printer completely wide open.
It's yeah, so, you know, I think, you know, talking about how, you know, cybersecurity is not just the device aspect of security, but, you know, you kind of went into the physical security aspect too. So I think, you know, I think we'll leave the show with that, because for the next episode, what I would like to talk about is, you know, a big, the number one way to breach various businesses and individuals, and that's through phishing. So again, you know, thanks for listening, everyone. If you found this information useful or helpful in any way, please give us a like, thumbs up, or whatever you have to do to tell the powers that be that you found this content helpful. Check us out at darkboxsecurity.com or join our Discord at darkboxsecurity.com/Discord. So until next time, thank you for joining.
See y'all.
See ya.